Hierdie ding het nou net afgegaan, net soos wat ek wil opkom. Huh? Pes. Good morning everybody. My name is Cassie Du Plessis. I'm part of the leadership here. I've got the privilege of preaching this morning. And the clock can officially start now. I was encouraged. We were encouraged from Morne and the guys leading Josh Jen, actually from Andrew, that we need to do our preaches shorter. So I'm on a short string here, you know. Luisteltjies is kort. So I need to be getting into this. We're not going to make any jokes this morning. So Lord, we just thank you for this morning, the privilege of encountering the word. And as we have been praying, as we have been seeking, so Holy Spirit, this morning, won't you come upon us in a life-giving way? Lord, we thank you that it is not whether we have heard the truth once or twice or even a few times before, but whether you are on it that makes a difference and gives the life or not. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, won't you come, won't you lead us, won't you engage, won't you encounter in a life-giving way, and that all of us can say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. So the background this morning is we as a congregation have been reading through the book of James. The last few weeks, actually, I think the last 3 weeks, we've been, as a congregation, reading through James and preaching to some extent through James. And the preaching series went this way. We've got to read the word, we've got to pray the word, and we've got to do the word. This is where I am this morning. So this morning we are at doing the word. Now, that feels like a hospital pass to me, you know. Doing the word. And I'm thinking like, doing the word. I mean, like, honestly, like, just honestly, who in this congregation doesn't know that you should be doing the word? I mean, like hands, please. I mean, serious. I mean, this is 101. Even before you have heard your first preach, probably growing up in South Africa, you know you need to be doing the word. Sê saam met my hersiening. Ja, eksamen is om die draai. Ons doen hersiening. Okay, so probably 80 to 100% of us know that we should be doing the word. And in James, there's a scripture that says, if you have a faith, but you don't have the works, it's like being a dead man. It is like a corpse. It's a lake. Nee? Geloof sonder 'n aksie is 'n lake. Hy haal nie asem nie. Works are the breathing of a believing man or woman. A believing person. So we know reading this book is like, we don't want to be corpses, right? We don't want to be. So as we are doing the revision, and all of us are supposed to know these things and probably can do a fair preach on doing the word, I just for a moment want to draw everybody in to this preach, all right? So can anybody tell me, if you think Bible, if you think scripture, think of a person or an incident where it said you need to do the word. So just throw a few scriptures in. You need to do the word scriptures. Okay, anybody? Okay? Is jy nou moes gepreek het, Roan? Jesus? Okay, huis moet op die rots gebou word. Okay, so Jesus said, the one who hears these words and doesn't do them is a foolish man. Whereas a wise man will be doing what he hears. Yes, yes. Ruan, het jy wou jy iets gesê het? Liesel. Love your neighbor. You need to do. There needs to be an action. Yes. Wie doen? Wie? Jy kan nie net die woorde hoor, jy moet doen. Eer jou vader en jou moeder. Okay. But I specifically scriptures that go for do what you know. Do what you know. Or an example. Nee, jy is gedisqualifiseer. Ja, jy het jou beertjie gehad. Francine, wat se doen versie gaan jy vir my sê? Okay, ja. Okay, maar julle gee nou al mekaar vir my ander werkies. Wat se versie sê ek moet dit doen? Ek moet dit doen. I know it's dis werkwoorde wat julle almal vir my gee. It's right. Yes. Make disciples, all right? It's verbs, but it's not a scripture that says do. So Yes, yes. But by every word. Okay, that's closer. Devil in the wilderness. Book. Wat sê AI? Do as I do. Okay, we're getting closer. Okay, do anything. Yes. Bless those who curse. Okay, dis weer werkwoorde. Okay, so kom ons. Okay, julle gaan, nee, ons moet hersien. All right, ons moet hersien. Okay, so, who has heard of an individual called Joshua? Yeah, it's us, right? Okay, now, so Joshua in the Bible, in Joshua 1:8, God comes and speaks to him. Says, listen, now, I've got specific tasks for you, but for you to be able to do the task, you first need to start somewhere. You need to start at the Word. You need to get the Word into you. You need to consider it continually, and then you must do it. And in that way, you will make your way prosperous. You will be successful if you can do what you hear. And as a matter of fact, you need to carefully consider. There's actually a number of scriptures in the Old Testament specifically, if I think back, which say, pay careful attention. As let mooi op. And this is, can you hear it here? This word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to get an action that is linked to these words. And if you are able to do that, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Some person that is for me an excellent example of this is Mary at a wedding in Cana. Who knows Mary at the wedding in Cana? Gou vinnig hande. Wie weet van die bruilof in Cana? Jo, is dit min mense wat die Bybel ken. All right. This is a story. Let me tell the story. Jesus is really at the beginning of his ministry, but he's not well known. But his mom, she heard the angel. She knows. Yeah, mothers know. So the wedding gets in trouble. Why? The wine has run out. And she starts to pray. She says, Jesus, we're in need of a miracle. And I ask you for a miracle now. And they've got a bit of a conversation. Basically, the conversation goes, no, I'm not going to make wine now. Yeah. Jesus says, no. I'm careful to go into Ruan's direction. But Jesus says, no. But the mother doesn't take the no. And she goes to the servants and says the following. I'm paraphrasing. I have done my prayers. You can see we're in need of a miracle. Here is somebody who can help you. Now, it's your turn to do exactly what he tells you. Okay, your miracle and your need from God is not answered after you have prayed. It is answered, you meet it, after you have done what he's told you. So, as Ruan mentioned, when Jesus is on the mountain and he's preaching one of his very, very famous preachers on the mountain called the Sermon on the Mount, he says this thing about the rock, right? He says, "You are foolish if you don't do what I'm telling you," right? But the scripture in Luke. Actually, it's got a nice one or two angles that will help us. Everyone, okay, so let me tell you about the man that's going to be wise, right? Jesus says, let me tell you about this man. He is somebody who digs deep until he finds rock, right? So he's digging deep until he finds a rock. Then he lays the foundation. And then when the stream breaks, when the storms come, then the rest passes the test, right? But the point about the digging deep and the scripture in Joshua where it says, you keep and meditate and keep on keeping on. Like it says in James, there's actually a portion that we will get to just now where it says, it's the man who looks and perseveres and does. There's a digging deep, which you and I need to do until something settles where you find the rock in your heart. And from that place, you build your life, right? Come on. Okay. Now, in Luke, just shortly after, let me see, there was a verse. Just before this, Jesus says, people will come to him and say the following, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, you are great. Lord, Lord, you are holy. Lord, Lord, you are amazing. You are beautiful. You are able. And Jesus says, why do you come to me saying all these, Lord, 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 but you don't do what I'm telling you? Meaning that your accolades are meaningless. Your praises are futile. Your songs, your worship has to have substance in your day-to-day life. Or I could ask you, why are you doing this? The doing of the word is so important to our Lord that the obvious question for us is, well, all of us know it, all right? Or 80 to 100% of us in this room right now know that we need to do the word, and it's just revision. So the question is not whether we know it, right? The question is, are 80 to 100% of us in this room on a day-by-day basis building our lives built on spirit-inspired, spirit-empowered scripture? And the answer is maybe not. And so the question is not whether we should be doing it, but why are we not doing it? So this morning I want us to consider maybe this. Why are we preaching this? Why is it an issue? Why if we know it, why are we not just, if it's a no-brainer, wat is die moeilikheid? Good. Now, Sean and I, we play, where's Sean? Sean, can I see your hand? Okay, I can't see that hand, but I know you're there. All right. Sean and I, when we play chess, we have got a weekly chess appointment. And so at times when we are playing and somehow I bring a move to the front that helps me and not him, he has this saying, Sean would have this frequent saying, we have a problem. We have a problem. I like that. If he says we have a problem, it means I've got a good move, right? Now, in our preach, we have identified the problem. We have a problem. Say with me, we have a problem. We have a problem. Okay. So let's see what is the problem. Romans 7 verse 15 says the following. I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Can you identify with that? We have a problem. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. I agree that I should be reading and doing the word. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. That sounds like a cop-out. Okay. For, verse 8, it wasn't me. It was sin on the inside. Right? I'm actually innocent. Is this, the dirty devil? Okay. The problem with that dirty devil is it's you. All right. So the Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I have a desire to read the word and do it, but I'm struggling. I'm battling. I've got a handicap. I want to run fast, but I can't. I want to jump, but I can't. I want actually to be witnessing, but somehow I'm not doing this. I've got a problem. And Paul goes on in his argument in verse 24. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he goes into the intro to the chapter 8 of Romans, very well known, as he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Say with me, "Through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, this is obviously where the problem starts getting an address, all right? So on the inside, this thing describes, Romans 7 describes a handicap that all people find themselves in. They've got a handicap of doing what they don't want to do. They somehow are in this curse, and no matter how hard they try, they are unable to get out of it. This is what Romans 7 puts into words, but what all of Scripture demonstrates, right? Before that, we've got 1,600 years of Jewish history, which shows there are people who really promise, "We will do it, we will do it, we will do it, we will do it." They've got all the words, they've got everything, like sort of the presence of God, the sacrifices of God, and they fail miserably for 1,600 years. And if we don't take that as a personal description of our failures, then we're missing the point. We need to hear, "You can't do it." Thousands, millions have tried. They couldn't do it. We can't do it. Wretched men and women that we are. Thank God there's a way out. So I'm paraphrasing chapter 8's beginning. It goes this way. God's intervention through Jesus gives us a new spirit. Although the flesh is yet still the flesh. All right. So does God exchange our flesh when we get born again? No, definitely not. Is the flesh and its potential to destroy us dead? No, it's not. You are in the same body that you were born. You've got the same mind of the flesh, as the Bible calls it, that is available to destroy you. The only difference is what? A new spirit. There is a way out. There is a power given. There is something that's available that can help you, but it's not automatic, and the flesh is still the flesh, and it's still present. So the flesh is still the flesh. If we operate from the Spirit of Jesus on our inside, we can do right, i.e. do what the Bible says. But that's an if. If we can find the new God-given Spirit, and here I'm speaking obviously of somebody that's been born again. Maybe not all of us have experienced or have had the privilege of being born again. It's something that Jesus describes as, without this experience, you will never see heaven. You cannot be saved without being born again. It is something that needs to happen, and many of us have had that experience. And so the Spirit has come in. But maybe there's somebody who hasn't had the experience, and I want to say it's available, and it's available this morning. Okay? That needs to be said. But for those who have had the experience, there is the possibility of living if we operate. But Romans 8 then says, but we are debtors. We owe this to God. And you know, the interesting thing is, now God comes and he gives, for the rest of the testament, he gives all the instructions that my brothers and sisters have been giving me through the volunteering time. Love your wife. Love your husband, forgive, go out, do good, you know, pray, do the stuff. And many of these things, God doesn't even dwell on them long. He just says, do it. He expects a reaction. He says, do it. Why? Because he has empowered us. He's given us the ability. We just need to plug into the, so I can have the most beautiful, whatever, say the most beautiful instrument here in this piano, costs 100,000 rand or whatever the cost would be. If it's not plugged in, it's meaningless. If you and I are not plugged into the Spirit, we are meaningless. That's it. So, verse 12. My broers and sisters, dis noodsaaklik dat ons die druk van ons sondige natuur sal weerstaan en nie daarvolgens sal lewe nie. We are debtors, the English Bible says. We are indebted, ons skuldig vir God. Not to the flesh, to live according. But for if you live according to the flesh, verse 13, you will die. All right? We are speaking to born-again believers here. These are Roman believers. He says, if you who are believers live according to your flesh, say with me, if I live according to the flesh, I will die. Thank you. But If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, life and to live according to the Spirit is a power to do what is right, and it is a power to do what you have been told. The key for us is obviously to find this. Where is the Spirit plug, you know? How do I get plugged in into this which has been given? Where is that rightness on the inside? Because we've heard about a wrongness that's on the inside. But the good news for a born-again believer is you can shift the plug from the mind of the flesh to the mind of the Spirit. When I get a pin from somebody, Rulof says, come and visit me. And I say, Rulof, where's your house? He says, I'll send you a pin, right? Who has received a pin before? It's an address, right? So when I open my phone and I press on the pin, it asks me the following. Which maps do you want to use? Okay, because I've got a few options. So he says, pick a map system. And you know what I found out over time with my phone and my map systems? Depending on the area, they are not all equal. As a matter of fact, some of them in certain areas have got no clue where the roads are. I'll just silently cause this thing to pass by me. The point is, your choice of an operating system or map system will determine your outcome. And the Bible says we've got two systems. We've got an F system and we've got an S system. We've got a flesh system that will navigate you, and you've got an S system that will navigate you. And you need to choose, if you want to get to your destination, which system you are going to use. And can I say, your phone usually doesn't ask you. Your body doesn't ask you. He goes into default mode. What is your default? F system. Okay? You will go to the wrong destination. Death in this case. So the Bible says that if we can get this thing right of frequently plugging in, right? Plugging out of the flesh, plugging into the Spirit. If we get that right, we are an entity called led by the Spirit. Okay, it's guided by the system that will take you on a spiritual route. Now, all of creation, did you know that all of creation is groaning? The soil is groaning. The mountain, the air, the birds, the rhinoceros, everything, the whales, the fish, the little creatures and the big ones, all of creation, the stars in the skies are groaning for one thing. What are they groaning for? Manifestation of the sons of God. Those who are able to follow the Spirit. All of creation gets life when somebody gets this right. Okay. Say with me, that's a legend. Okay. Do you want to be a legend? Do you want to be that which all of creation is groaning for, is longing for? Yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't want to be a legend? Lucas, will you a legend, yes? I am all a legend. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Keep it up. Keep it up. That's pressure. Okay. All right. Let's read James 1. We have to do, I mean, if we're in a season of James, we need to do a bit of James, right? Okay, so, yes, 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hey, just stop there. Did you know that we can deceive ourselves? Was it so said and gehad to ons groot geworden, is jy bluff yourself? Okay, it wasn't really meant to be encouraging. It wasn't. But it's a reality. The Bible says you can be deceived. As a matter of fact, the Bible says on the inside, the biggest deceiver is on the inside. The heart that is deceitful above all things. Your heart, we've got a dilemma. We've got a problem. On the inside, there's a deceiver that is described as more than what is out there. It's that which tells you, you are doing fine, you're doing great, you're doing just well, but you're not. You're convincing yourself you're doing better than what you are. When we, I probably don't have much time. Just a quick story. We were on the farm in the Kalahari many years ago. But the farm manager, he had two children, a boy and a girl. And they wanted to race. I can't remember who wanted to race, the boy or the girl. But in any case, the bottom line is, he is, say, 8 years old. She is 4 years old. That's a fair race. So on your marks, gets it, go. And then they run. But I mean, when she gets to the third of the way, he's finished. All right? That's the race. Okay? And she would run and run and run again. And every time she would even be in front of the line, she would come running close. Ek het gewen! Ek het gewen! And she it's like a total loss. But she goes, ek het gewen, ek het gewen. She's just persuaded. She's running the race of her life. That's how we behave, right? Jy dink jy wen. Jy is besig om te wen, nie? You deceive yourself. All right. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks, he sees he's not winning, but he goes away and at once forgets that he was not winning. But the one who looks into the perfect law, we don't want to hear bad news, right? That's why we ignore what the scripture says. Yeah, it's a bad thing. Okay, but the one who looks into the perfect law, that's what I mentioned, and perseveres, not being a hearer but and forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. So, I had this saying, or it was a poster in my English class as I was growing up. It's interesting how as you're growing up, there are these moments, and they just stick with you. That's 40 years ago. But there's this moment, so whatever, 35. But this moment, there's a poster in my English class that carries me. It says this: heights by great men, reached and kept, were not attained by sudden flight. But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards through the night. Perseverance makes the difference between a winning and losing. We are not of those who draw back, but we are of those who persevere. And if you fail and you fail and you fail again, don't be discouraged. God is not into discouragement. Even when he convicts us of that we are not doing well, he doesn't come with condemnation, say, you will never make it, you are so bad. That's the devil. Reject him. Like Joseph rejected that spirit. Go away. Go away, you wicked thing. I am loved by the Father. And I'm empowered by His Spirit, and I'm able to do the word. That's what you tell yourself. And if I've missed it, there are thousands out there that are also missing it. So I'm just one of them. But I'm not going to stay there. Through my night, I want to be led by the Spirit. Now let's get this thing to come and land. Who here wants to be led by the Spirit? Yeah? That's right. Who wants to prove that you are a son of God? Yeah, you want to. I'm seeing you're getting careful of my questions. I've preached here too much now. I need a different congregation now. Okay. Who wants to be an answer to all of creation's groaning? You want to be a legend, man. That is the goal. That is the way that spiritual legends live. Is they want to be the answer for their creation. They want to serve the purposes of God in their generation. They want to be those who find the word, who want to be plugged into the power of the Spirit, and then do it. That's how legends look like. You know what inspires me when I read through David's writings is that he had this ability to bring the people around him, the down and outs. He was able to bring them through to legendary status. You know, there are no lists of legends in the Bible as David's men. You read this guy and that guy. It's like when you read it, you can feel like this was a legend, man. This was a guy who killed them, who just aced it. He was. Now, you know what was written about one of those legends? He had an opposition. A lot of Philistines, they made the mistakes of attacking the legends, right? So here goes. He stood in a field, one man. And then he fought until the sword clung to his hand. Now, I want to draw this into our discussion. If you want to be a legend, you need to fight with your word. You know the word is a sword, right? Are you making the bridge here? Connection. You need to fight with your sword till it clings to your hand. That's the way you and I are going to be legends. Okay. So when we are legends, and if you want to be a legend, you cannot do that by living for yourself. That's not what legends do. First and foremost, they give themselves up for the Lord. And I'm speaking now of spiritual giants. I'm not speaking of the guy who was good in basketball, rugby, or whatever. I'm speaking like a person that is legendary in the Bible, that has accomplished great things for God. And I want to encourage you that if David's men could be legends, all of us in this room this morning can be. I'm telling you, they were the destitute when they went to him. They were the down and out. They were the rejected. They didn't have much. David had the ability to bring the Philistines through into legendary status. You can go and read. There were Gittites. It was Philistines. Enemies. And not only Philistines, other enemies too. David had the ability to bring people through in greatness in God. All of us in this room can be legends for God. I'm telling you. But we cannot live for ourselves. And we will not find any spiritual giant who has accomplished something great for God that was not intimately acquainted with the word, who didn't have the sword cling to his hand. You will not find them. That is a non-negotiable. You cannot live for yourself, and you cannot live without the word. Okay, so this morning, maybe we can just bow our heads. If you have never surrendered your life completely to the Lord, you know you've been flirting maybe, like one foot in heaven, one foot in hell, you know, one foot, maybe hell is not a good, one foot close to the Lord, one foot in the world. But you know you've never surrendered your life. This morning is an opportunity. Can you raise your hand and tell me that is you? You want to give your life to the Lord. If there's anyone like that, this is a good moment to respond to the Lord. Right? You've never before said, Lord, here am I. Take all of me. And don't think about the cost if you do it. Think about the cost if you don't do it. What you're losing if you don't lay down. Good. It seems like there's no one that has that stirring. But maybe there are some of us we have in times past. Say, Lord, here am I. But time has eroded that decision. And you find yourself in a place where you're actually not living for the Lord. And you feel like, Lord, today I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. If you want to recommit, if you want to give your life again to the Lord, this is your moment. Maybe you just want to show me. Indication, raise the hand. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. If you think, like, sure, I'm not at a place where I should be. Third group. If you are here and you have been walking with the Lord, running with the Lord, you have been spending time in the Word to a greater or lesser degree. And like all people, there has been little drifts, but it's not as if you have drifted away entirely. You are at times a little further and a little closer. But you know this morning, you need to be strengthened. You need to be empowered. You need to receive grace to spend time in the Word, to meditate on the Word, and to do the word. If you feel you need grace, I want you to stand now and raise your hands to the Lord. And this is a time where we mean business with the Lord. We don't stand to soothe our consciences. We stand to be empowered and receive grace. So Lord Jesus, you see every person who is standing here. They are your people. It is a work of your Spirit. And as we devote ourselves, as we raise ourselves, Lord, we confess we cannot do this. It is 101 revision, but we confess, Lord, that we are unable. To some extent, we believe, help us in our unbelief. We do, but help us where we are not doing. We read the Bible, but help us where we are not, when you have got an expectation that we should be spending more time. Help us that nothing of the religious spirit that deceives us into thinking we are doing better than what we are gets a hold of us. But Lord, won't you raise the mirror in front of us that we can clearly see how we are doing and help us then to change that which is not right. So Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you will see every person and by the blood of Jesus, have mercy on us, forgive us where we haven't. And get us back to a place, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God, won't you bless us with a place that this congregation will be moving as legends together, thinking, meditating on, doing the word for the glory of your name. Amen.
Wonderlik, baie dankie Cassie. Ek wil vir julle aanmoedig. Weet nie wie die res van julle wat, okay, ek nou net die frase, this is what legends are made of, daar is so 'n song, maar dit is, hulle die woord in hulle gekry, woord gebid, het is in hulle harte en hulle het gedoen. Kom ons vertrou die Here, het ons daai sal maak, nie vir glorie, daai nie, maar het in die Here, het ons daai sal doen, wat hy ons hiervoor op aarde gesit het vir hierdie tyd. Amen. Ek hoop julle het 'n great week. Ons sien julle volgende Sondag met die Gordons Bay span en deur die week sterkte met dies wie eksamens in die huis het en wat merk en al daai dinge. Hoop julle het 'n wonderlike week. Blessings.